Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 26th on the West Coast, now May the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope you will find the show to be very interesting, entertaining possibly tonight because of some of the topics we're going to cover, and revealing. Before I bring on tonight's guests, Mr. Ken Adachi and Zura Nova Star Livingstone, just want to reference a lot of what I've been hearing on alternative media the past few days. There is this obsession over the birth certificate as if somehow the things that I and a few others wrote about 3 years ago have just fallen upon deaf ears. The discussions we've had, hundreds of shows on Evident Footprints with many, many guests talking about the ineligibility of the usurper sitting in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. And I emphatically stated something very simple, that if there was a legitimate document to bring out, he would have brought it out, period. So there is none. We can say that. I can say that, certainly, based on the research I've done. And if you're listening to this show and you haven't read what I have written about Barack Hussein Obama Jr. or the second, or Barry Satoru, or Barry Rockefeller, or the man from Mars, whatever you want to call him, then please go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and read The Three Stooges Go to Washington. I've laid out the whole history, debunked the photographs and the documents, and still people are arguing. Was this guy born in Hawaii or was he born in Kenya? I emphatically state that I determined he was born in Indonesia. We'll be talking about that with our guests. But right now, I would just like to allow two of my favorite singers and musicians from the country field to deliver their own version of Reasons to Quit.
Reasons to quit. Smoke and booze don't do me like before, and I'm hardly ever sober. My old friends don't come around much anymore. Reasons to quit. The low is always lower than the high, and the reasons to quit don't outnumber all the reasons why. So we keep smoking and we keep drinking, having fun and never thinking, laughing at price tag that we pay, and we keep roaring down the fast lane like two young men feeling no pain. And the reason for quitting's getting bigger each day. Reasons to quit. I can't afford the habit all the time. sober. I need to write some new songs that will rhyme. Reasons to quit, they have no rhyme or reason when you're high. Reasons to quit don't outnumber all the reasons why.
Reasons to quit, Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, not necessarily in that order. Now, there's a message in that song. They just gave a bunch of reasons to quit, and certainly not having a genuine certificate of live birth, or for that matter, a genuine photograph, or any other type of documentation, are more reasons to quit. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Before I bring our guests on, I have a short public service announcement to make for the listeners out there who may have tried to call in on the conference line and discovered they were having a problem, possibly. I'm assuming that that might be the case. The direct dial number I'm going to give you right now, so you're going to want to write this down, is 760-569-7676. Let me give you that number again. 760-569-7676. And then you will be asked to punch in an access code. That number, 192-919, followed by the pound sign. One more time on the access code, 192-919, followed by the pound sign. Okay, back to the show. Tonight's guests are prolific journalists, researchers, essayists, and thinkers. And they use discernment, they use logic, and their work is published on my first guest website, educate-yourself.org, my good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much for having me on again.
Okay, my pleasure. And we also have on with us tonight Zora Nova Star Livingstone, an essayist whose work is featured on your website. CS, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's good. Did that song touch either one of you by any chance?
Yeah, I've got to say that Willie Nelson is one of those guys that, of course, he's a very well-seasoned musician. He's been in the music game all his life, but the tone of his voice is just truly unique and wonderful to listen to. I don't think anyone could not like Willie Nelson's singing. He really gets to me. I mean, I'm not a country and western fan at all, but what a melodious, gorgeous voice that guy has. And his sense of musicality is just rock solid. So I just find Willie to be one of the greats of today. When I was younger, I used to think Patsy Cline had the greatest voice in country music ever. I think I still feel that way. But Willie's right up there. He's really one of the great, great country and western singers.
Yeah, well, I hope that song spreads far and wide.
He's also, go ahead. Well, Willie Nelson also in Farm Aid and his fights against the IRS for years and years and years. I just wonder what is motivating him to continue that fight for decades. Maybe he saw decades ago that it was not a government organization or government institution or agency. It was a private agency. He's refused to pay his taxes. And then when the farmers were having problems, unable to keep their animals down on the farm, they were selling them off, he came along and put Farm Aid together with a few other musicians. Mm-hmm. So he's a publicly aware, conscious person.
Yes, yes. Please make sure your mic is close so we pick up a nice strong signal, if you could. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's get into a discussion. Tonight's show is not about Willie Nelson, but certainly your points are well taken, and I agree. Reasons to quit. Well, we could think of a million of them. Ken, what's on your plate these days?
Well, I want to take perhaps 10 minutes or so to talk about Ted Gunderson. I called him this morning. I haven't talked to him in a few weeks. The last time I did talk to him was about 6 weeks or so ago. And prior to that, I hadn't talked to him for a long time, perhaps a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't know. I wanted to check on his health. He told me about 2 years ago, approximately. I'm guessing at the time, but it seemed about 2 years. He said he was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and he was in the hospital at the time I was talking to him. I didn't know that, of course. I was just calling him for another matter. And so long story short, he had an operation. He had his bladder removed, and they constructed some sort of artificial replacement bladder for him. He recovered. He went back to work, and I didn't talk to him for maybe a year and a half or so. I presumed he was okay. I didn't hear from him. And when I did call, he told me that his cancer had come back after he was free of cancer for a time. Well, he thought or assumed he was, and it came back, and it seeded in his liver, in his lymph nodes. And he has a tumorous mass near his bladder.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I told him, I gave him some of my thoughts on what to do to fight cancer on his own. I recommend that, as I do to everyone who talks to me about cancer, the books of Huldah Clark. She concentrated on cancer treatment, and she was very successful at it. If you study her books, you can learn how to treat cancer yourself at home and, in general, have a much higher chance of success than if you went the conventional route, which is usually the worst way to go. And you don't have to go broke doing it. If you follow Huldah Clark's info, there's a relatively inexpensive way to self-treat cancer, and in many cases you can succeed at it. It takes a great deal of knowledge, which you can gain from her book, to learn what you have to do to stop the cancer process. So I explained that to him, and I urged him to get the four books on cancer, and I explained to him she has a two-week program there for people who are, you know, in stages. So I urged him to get the books right away and to look into the two-week program and follow her advice to the letter. I called today just to see how he was doing, and he said he was in hospital at this time. He had a very bad bladder infection, which was causing him excruciating pain. So he was being treated for that in the hospital, and he's going to get out in a day or so. So I asked him about the cancer, and he said, well, he He says, I'm going to see this alternative clinic in Costa Mesa. He says, I don't have enough money. He says, they need more than I have, but I gave him a down payment, and it's carrying me for a while, but I got to try to come up with a fair amount of money. So I asked him what stage it was at. He says, well, it's stage four, which is typically the final stage when you're dealing with a cancer case. His liver, of course, is a necessary organ to have in order to have enough immune power to fight the cancer. Your liver can't be too far gone. So I don't know how far gone his liver is. He just told me he's in stage four. So I don't know how long Ted will have. I hope I'm going to talk to some people I know who have some special ability, and we'll see what can be done. However, I wanted to just take this time to pay a bit of a tribute to him, because I was reading a lot of very negative and scurrilous and slanderous information about Ted on the internet, because I was investigating the activity of a woman who's has aligned herself with Len Horowitz for the last year or two, and she's along with Len is on a mission to smear Ted Gunderson and John DeCamp, for that matter, and some other people. Some I know, some I don't know, some I care for, some I don't care for. But it bothered me greatly that she's devoting so much time to both writing untrue and slanderous comments about Ted and John DeCamp. And I got an email from a woman yesterday, and she told me that this person who's writing these poison pen articles, her name is Sherry Kane. She got a newsletter from her because she's joined at the hip to Len Horowitz, as I mentioned here. I presume they're living together. I presume Len is no longer with his wife and is taken up with this woman in her place. I'm not completely sure why Sherry Kane has launched into this poison pen attacks against Ted, other than she's recently collaborated, if you will, with Barbara Hartwell, who's a longtime CIA flunky who has tried to smear and discredit Ted for at least the last 11 years or so. Prior to that, around 1997 or 98, she contacted Ted for the first time and said, please help me. I'm an MKUltra victim. I don't know what to do. I think the CIA is going to kill me, yada, yada, yada. As always, Ted extended himself for anyone who calls, who asks him to help him. He helped her a great deal. He provided her with money, protection. He did a lot of things for her. He took her around with him on some of his lectures that he was doing with Bryce Taylor, and allowed her to speak an hour or so of his time, because Barbara Hartwell was never invited to any conference as a guest speaker in her own right. She's always ridden along on the coattails of Ted Gunderson and Bryce Taylor, of which she eventually proved herself to be an utter ingrate about. So anyway, Ted Gunderson, in my book, is a decent man who has tried to help the people of this country, and for that matter, humanity, by bringing things to the attention of the public that someone of his stature, he had a high rank in the FBI when he was with the Bureau. He, at one point, was considered he was a candidate to be the director of the FBI. He was one of the candidates they were considering. So he rose very, very high within the FBI, and he retired in 79. And he begins as a private investigator, and he starts looking into cases such as the Jeffrey McDonald Green Beret murder case, and found out that Dr. McDonald was framed by the Army, and he's serving, triple life sentence for murders that he had nothing to do with. It was murder of his two children and his wife at the time. He was framed. And Ted has been spending the last 30 some odd years trying to bring that story of McDonald to the public, along with a lot of other stories that Ted investigated and spoke about and wrote reports on and did videos on. And after being relatively free of attack until Hartwell and Virginia McCulloch and four or five other individuals started to assassinate Ted's character, or attempt to assassinate his character, starting about the year 2000. Prior to that, Ted was relatively free of these character assassins. But from that point forward, Hartwell particularly said a lot of things in print that were completely untrue about Ted. I debunked much of her lies. The woman is a outrageous, pathetic, pathological liar. Anyone who reads her material long enough and reads the rebuttals that I wrote can see that. So now we have Sherry Kane sort of stepping in the breach and doing exactly the sort of slander that Hartwell did in that earlier period. And here we have Ted being accused of being this mastermind Machiavellian leader of COINTELPRO agents. And I was just reading this utter rubbish from Sherry Kane today. I heard some radio shows that Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane did talking about Ted Gunderson, slamming him, disparaging him. And all I can say is Len Horowitz has devolved into something that I never expected he would. He's totally allowed himself to be hoodwinked, if we can be polite to say that, by this woman. And in doing so, he disgraces himself. He's obviously disgraced his family and his kids, who now have to put up with this guy parading around with this woman. Ted Gunderson is an AOK guy in my book. I read a lot of his material. None of the charges against him that slanderers like Sherry Kane are alluding to are true. It was he who challenged Michael Aquino in the late 80s on television shows to get out the truth about Satanism, about the infiltration of Satanists into the government, into the military. The thing Sherry Kane accuses Ted Gunderson of, it was Ted Gunderson who initially got out the story, and that I'm just outraged at now in the 11th hour of Ted's life, we have a new individual who has a zero name recognition herself, who is trying to create a reputation for herself by walking all over the reputation of Ted Gunderson and John DeCamp as well. So anyone who's serious about studying Ted Gunderson's career, the reports that he's written, will see that he was a leader in exposing dark information about the inner government, the abduction and abuse of children, the selling of children, the satanic sacrifice of children. Ted Gunderson was doing this throughout the 80s and 90s. and was doing it right up to just a few months ago. While I never heard of Sherry Kane in my life until she took up with her role with Len Horowitz. I never heard of her. I see that on her website she talks about a lot of things as if she doesn't even realize that she's bringing up points about Aquino and COINTELPRO and the dark side and the Illuminati, things that were initially ventilated by Ted Gunderson in the 1980s, particularly when very few people were on the lecture circuit talking about these things. Ted was. And I guess I can stop there. I'd probably be writing something about it. I'm going to perhaps put up something about Ted, a little bit of a tribute piece, and maybe ask people to send him cards and wishes of, that he recover from his situation and to thank him for the tremendous contribution that he has made in his lifetime. He doesn't deserve to be smeared and discredited in this way, particularly now at the 11th hour. I just think Horowitz should be ashamed of himself that he's aligned himself with this terrible excuse for a human being, Sherry Kane. And I'll stop with that.
Now, if people want to help Ted financially, one thing they can do is purchase his research materials, which he's put on CD. I think he only charges $35 for just mountains of documents.
Absolutely, yeah. He did have a CD that has all his reports in it. As you say, a mountain of documents. And I will find out the correct address, and I'll put it up on my website as to how people can, at least do that. His reports are tremendous. They're all there, the McMartin case, the finders. Ted pioneered a lot of cases we wouldn't even know about if Ted didn't research them. And his blockbuster cases, are a monument to his doggedness to justice, to help people who are being abused by dark
forces. He's really written the book on exposing pedophilia, child abduction, the CPS fraud that's permeated the whole country now. And
yes, exactly.
And that's what he's up against. So
yeah, that's what he's up against. And yeah, and you're absolutely right. He was at the very forefront of exposing this. And now when I read this garbage of Sherry Kane, she's accusing Ted of the very things that Ted has been railing against all his life. It's just disgusting what this woman is saying about Ted Gunderson.
Well, when you speak to Ted, tell him all the listening audience wishes him well, and that we'll be praying for him, and tell him I personally said hello, if you would.
Okay. Okay, I will, Don. Thanks.
Well, now, ZS, you are quite familiar with this sort of thing yourself, being as sensitive as you are and discerning as you are, you come under attack by people you don't even know, but they present themselves to you. Do you want to intimate a little bit of that for the listening audience?
Well, it's 40 years ago, I was under media. The group I was with was under media attack, very similar to the attack that Ted Gunderson was under. We were being taught about the what was actually going on in society, and then the media came along, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation and the local papers in Vancouver, and fired all that same stuff back at us. And it was appalling. It was just like a huge gorilla on your back. It was just it was a demon clawing at your kidneys and try to twist your head around and make you think that you're guilty of something which you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually dumping where the that's a psychological term there, but it's also a spiritual or psychic term.
Yeah,
where you blame somebody else for your problems, and dumping has been going on for millennia, where the negative will blame those who carry the light and carry the truth for the lies, and expect them to bear the load.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that Ted Gunderson is has carried a heavy, heavy load since probably his whole career, bucking against entrenched problems within the FBI, plus even rising to the top and possibly getting the top job. I could see that he was a formidable intelligence and strength to be able to handle all that and keep his head straight, his head on straight.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really feel for Ted and what he's going through. And the more spiritual you get, the less Teflon you get. Like they said that Ronald Reagan was a Teflon president, nothing would stick to him. And a lot of people say that they don't register to the insults of the office or the allegations against them.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be a spiritually unaware person who would be a Teflon person. A spiritually aware person would be hearing and feeling everything, even when they're not picking up the newspaper or reading the internet or listening to radio.
Yeah, you feel those things. Now, those attacks that we're talking about don't just come through media, mainstream media, lies about everything. So,
you can feel the Friday night rituals going on, the Kewpie dolls with the pins sticking in them. Usually sometime around midnight Friday, which is the usual night that they do that, their rituals, they're tearing you limb from limb. And only with spiritual strength can you get up the following day and get on with your work.
Mm-hmm. I listened to an interview today on another network, and this is not to be taken seriously whatsoever, but I heard every explanation for every political or geopolitical event going on attributed to Planet X or a brown dwarf star, and the credentials of the particular individual I heard speaking were being part of SRI back in 1977, Stanford Research Institute, that was doing their remote viewing program, developing it.
And CIA.
And Yale, yeah. And then just making outrageous claims about what is going on. HARP, for example. I know for a fact that they are using HARP for certain things. And other things that they've developed uses for to target against the population or to target against weather have been put on hold because they have been warned about using it. Okay? I know that personally. And I'm not mincing words saying it. I can say that with authority. I know who was told that HARP would be basically taken out if it was used against the people, if it was used against the planet. Now, one of the purposes of HARP is as a planetary defense system. It's what Reagan called Star Wars. That's right. An aspect of it. And you're talking about Tesla technology that was modified and used for nefarious purposes. It's used in conjunction with chemtrails. It's used to manipulate the weather. But those are not the only methods available to do that. So it's misleading for people to blame everything on HAARP. I will say that. Now, we know that there are things happening in space, and we know that there is certainly off-planet technology, extraterrestrial technology, that can cause earthquakes or tsunamis or hurricanes or tornadoes and all of this aberrant weather that we've been seeing. Now, we're told we have global warming. Remember that? Remember the past few years? It was nonstop global warming. and yet you have flooding going on. Where I live, we had 2.5-inch hailstones yesterday.
Wow.
Over a widespread area. And we're fortunate enough that tornadoes that or tornadic activity that was passing through didn't touch down. But this is not a game. First of all, it's costing people their lives. It's costing them their homes, their communities. And there are agendas behind the curtain underway. The deprivation of food or agricultural land, the destruction of agricultural land is a big part of this. And you would think those that are so highly invested in commodities would be concerned about crop production. I don't care what crop you want to talk about. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the blaming everything on Elenin or the brown dwarf is just total nonsense because the – I was going to use a stronger word there, but nonsense.
You can use the letters if you – did you want to say BS?
of course, coming out of SRI, anything coming out of SRI is manipulation. Stanford Research Institute has been an in-house action for the CIA since World War II, anyways, maybe even before that. And, of course, that's where all the billions of dollars of research money into remote viewing and all the other technologies, including the silicon chip, which was backwards engineered alien technology, which was given to Silicon Valley, which is SRI, Stanford Research, Stanford University.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Silicon Valley is in that area. And that the misdirection, it's like a quarterback looking left and throwing right. Now, somebody's taking on the role of the quarterback with all the credentials and the credit. Looking at the stars, but the problem is here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else is writing the playbook, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. And of course, there'll be a huge number of people who will look at it and be afraid. And being afraid is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Being afraid of what they do not know. And we could have a brown dwarf coming within 20 million miles of us, and it won't affect us gravitationally, even though you might deflect the inner planets a little bit.
Well, wait. You know, they've been saying for how many years that they've seen this planet and that it can only be seen from the southern hemisphere, yet it caused the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan. Okay. That's the garbage that they're feeding everybody. And no one thinks, no one listens to what they're saying.
Yeah, I've had people come up to me and talk to me about that, and I just say, no.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even warrant any discussion other than to say that anyone that's paying attention to it and professing to be an expert on the reality of it is lying through their teeth, if they have any.
Well, or through their fangs.
That's what I mean. So, Ken, do you want to chime in on this?
Well, yeah, you know, we've mentioned it before. It's foolish to accept the idea that the incoming planet is responsible for these, particularly the weather. It's being artificially manipulated with scalar technology, and it's, you know, I fell for that incoming Nibiru story in 1995, and I wrote a synopsis about it, and I put it up on my website, and you know, I'm just an ordinary person. I just got my first computer in 95. I was new to it. I took the information at face value. I didn't know just how sophisticated the CIA and NSA and mind control operations were. Of course, I was just a newbie. But now it's clear that they use these doom and gloom scenarios, end the world type apocalyptic stuff, to keep people frightened and, you know, anxious and worrying about, you know, escaping to the hills and digging a hole and hope you'll survive the hurricanes and tsunamis, it's and the pole shift and all the other nonsense. None of these cataclysmic events will occur due to, you know, these incoming planets, et cetera, are simply not true. They're mm-hmm. fictions. And if we spend too much time there, then you're going to lose a lot of energy.
Yeah.
They attach a lot of material with the story to suck you in. That's how I got sucked into this Zeta Talk. A lot of info at Zeta Talk is accurate. It's true. But the 10% that they want you to buy is the incoming planet routine, and that's the part that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of disinfo. It's yep. always 90% good stuff, 5 or 10%, you know, tainted stuff. That's yep. the nature of disinfo.
This planet that makes this return to the Earth, according to legend, every 3,600 years, I heard today described as a brown dwarf star and 30,000 times the size of the Earth. Now, how does one arrive at taking measurements of something they can't see or find?
It doesn't have a tail. It's a comet without a tail.
30,000 times the size of planet Earth?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's truly ludicrous. I wish more people who are buying this would just stop and ask themselves, am I being taken for a ride here? Because you are.
Yeah, yeah. It's nonsensical. And yet...
Of course.
It's a Russian scientist that discovered the comet, Elenin. You know, he named it after himself. Oh, that makes him good. Well, you know, when I hear somebody say that, I think of the Russian mafia, too. You know? And how they've infiltrated this country many, many years ago. I saw this when I was living in California. They would come in with a credit card that was obviously stolen, trying to buy a truckload or a container load of instruments to send back to Russia. So the deal wasn't making a big sale. It was going to be a big scam is what it was.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a Russian scientist, we're supposed to listen. There are some brilliant Russian scientists, but they're putting out the truth, or they're making major discoveries, but not this garbage, this spin. You know, I should play this Willie Nelson song again, just to raise the point. You know, people's. You wonder, first of all, about consciousness. That's one issue. But whether they've not already been turned into zombies is the next issue. That they can keep looking for something to focus their attention on, and it has to be based in fear and sensationalism.
You know? Yeah, that's the point. You've hit it. That is right. That is right there. That's recently I mentioned to you privately, and I mentioned in a little piece that I put up today that, you know, websites who, you know, traditionally have some pretty good material, like Jeff Rentz's website, you know, he, I think, incorrectly has simply bought into certain psyops, I feel, blindly. This whole idea of this spreading radiation, it's going to envelop the whole world, supposedly coming from Fukushima, is a psyops. We know that, we mentioned it from the very beginning. I think it was the day after the March 11th, we mentioned in writing and in radio shows with you, that the government has been dropping radioactive iodine. In fact, I mentioned a person who's been providing me with very good information for a long time told me that 4.5 years ago. She says, I'm picking up radioactive iodine in the chemtrails. So if we're getting elevated readings of air samples in the U.S., it's not because of Fukushima, because there was no meltdown at Fukushima, as Zias pointed out in an essay, I don't know, 6-8 weeks ago, whatever it was. It's a psyops going on. Mm-hmm. The reactor explosions were due to concealed nuclear devices, small nuclear device that caused those that explosion to happen. And the plutonium that was found and so forth is not from the reactor. It's from the nuclear device that went off. And yes. The water that was contaminated with radioactivity was from the undersea nuclear devices that played a role in causing the tsunami of March 11th. Naturally, nuclear device goes off, the water is going to be contaminated with radioactivity. And that's what the same person I was alluding to told me as well. She says, I'm picking up a lot of radiation from the water when I see these videos of the flooding with the March 11th tsunami. I said, yeah, it makes sense because, you know, the tsunami was helped along by undersea nuclear devices. So naturally, it's going to radiate the water.
Yes. Now, Jim Murray also corroborated those findings that ZS made from discernment with his contacts there in Japan. And he had the comment he had made in regard to the way the media was handling the event here in the States. What's wrong with those people? That's not our problem here. And inside sources said there was no meltdown there. They knew who planted a nuclear device, who exploded it. And they had other anomalies that they described associated with the tsunami as well. Isn't it interesting that there was a nuclear research ship seen in the area? So that came out, what was it, CS? Was that a week ago or 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember now.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I think. Well, no, the 13th.
May 13th.
May 13th,
show,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm getting a fair amount of hits on that show, by the way. I put up on my website not so long ago, just maybe 3-4 days ago, I'm not sure, but there's well over 4,000 hits on that show. So it's been getting 1,500 to 2,000 hits a day, which is fairly good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been spending time the past couple of days reposting archives on my website. And I'm listening to them, and many of the things that all of us have mutually discussed on the show have either come to pass or we hit the nail right on the head as to what was really going on with a number of events, whether you want to talk about the economy or the petroleum industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the military-industrial complex, the space program. We've called it and hit bullseyes on everything. Going back 2-3 years, we were very, very accurate in what we talked about on the show. Over and over again, with all of my guests, excluding those that demonstrated that they were more interested in putting out disinformation than truth. They're no longer going to be on this show for that reason. That's why you do see certain guests that come back repeatedly, because they look at things outside the box and they observe and they use discernment. And they're truth seekers as well. So why all the fear-mongering? Well, that's obvious. They have to publish these stories and spin lies about what's going on to force people into states of panic, to induce them to get a vaccination or a chip or something like that's going to protect them. Well, everything that the government has done since it's existed in this country has led towards the undermining of the country and the subjugation of the populace. So what change of heart have they had to veer off course and head 180 degrees in the other direction? That's not going to happen. We're at a point where we've given them plenty of reasons to quit just by describing what they do, and the corruption is off the charts. Looking at aliases and phony social security numbers. Hitler himself had a social security number of someone that died in 1931 and hid in the United States until he died in 2004. Forget about what they write in the history books, because they've lied. They're going to tell you Hitler killed himself, so you don't know the guy's still alive. He was one of the biggest Satanists of all of them. And we could go on and on and on with this, but
he was able to mass hypnotize half of Germany.
Yeah,
that's how strong he was. A good soul gone bad.
Well, that's certainly someone demon possessed too. I mean, these people summon the demons to do their bidding.
Yeah. Yes,
that's what Credo Makwa said of the current president 6 months before the election. Down in South Africa, somebody asked Credo what they thought of Obama, and he said he's a demon. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most proficient high spiritual practitioners on the planet, and you could see straight through it.
Mm-hmm. Someone recently told me he's the most evil being on the planet.
And it's very interesting that Jean Dixon came out with she was the astrologer and seer in Washington, D.C. in the 1950s and 60s, and would often be seen in the Oval Office. And from FDR on, or was that Ruth Montgomery? I'm confusing both Jean Dixon and Ruth Montgomery. One or the other said in late summer of 1961, the Antichrist is now born in the Middle East. And guess who was born in August of 1961?
Uh-huh.
So,
well, she said Middle East. That's a possibility, or she could have been associating that with a particular religion too.
Right, right.
Which has proven itself time and time again to be an anomaly. Next to the proclamations of one being a Christian, a murdering Christian at that.
Yeah.
So, we've handled the disinformation as much as one can without just reiterating 4 years of shows. Do either of you want to?
Could I suggest, though, Don? I think. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to affirm the work you have done in the last 3 years to expose the fraud of Obama's CIA created family background, and the photos, etc., used other people have been pretending on the internet, some of them well known, to have broken these stories or to have been the, let's say, the lead researcher who are being credited with it. Why don't you take a few minutes to review the story of your research on who Obama was, where he came from, and et cetera. And I think it's time for you to set the record straight on just who discovered what and when that happened. Can you briefly review?
Well, I could say on anyone who was a candidate for the presidency of the United States or was a president that I investigated, it was sort of like being in the Iliad and the Odyssey, looking for facts, because what is put out for public consumption is not true. It's designed to be a cover story, and they saturate books. They saturate with the internet. The internet has taken the place of libraries in many ways because there were so many books available on the internet. Half of the books on the internet, I would presume, are there to cause financial damage to legitimate authors who have exposed some truth about what has been written. So you're going to see certain pieces of literature that were published in as hardbound books by major or even not so big publishing companies of very controversial topics and revealing truths that others have found. Now, I wasn't trained as a researcher per se. In other words, I didn't study research in school. In fact, when you study the way they teach you and look at what has been written in history, what are these people writing about? Where are they getting their information? Are they just reading other books and regurgitating what they've read in these history books and then drawing conclusions and, you know, assembling information, assembling the data that's out there? And trying to make sense of it, or at least presenting it in a way that appears to make sense. Well, when I began looking into some of the people that I wrote about, and Obama is one that that I've talked about at great length, I just saw that none of what was being said made any sense. I found contradictions in what was claimed to be his upbringing, where he was, what year he went there. And you would think that the individual, his or herself, could state emphatically where they were born, on what day, who their parents were. Now, when you find out that the things that were published in the form of an autobiography or written by another as a biography, and there were actually no provable facts in there, only one could disprove the facts because one could presume that those things did not occur. When you find fictitious documentation, a Selective Service registration card, hand-signed, alleged to be have been hand-signed by Obama, and stamped by the office, the receiving office that documents and records this Selective Service registration card, when it's dated prior to it being signed and dated, there's a problem with it. It's not a legitimate document. I said from all the research I did on the goings-on in Hawaii and the Rockefeller shills who were working for the CIA and likely the international intelligence community, because I saw signs that they were also working for Russian intelligence. I'm speaking about the family that called themselves the Dunhams. I exposed this from a ship list that I found, researching the name, and And I came up with the name Maduna. And that number on that ship's list was the same number written in a white grease pencil on a photograph, a nude photograph of Stanley Ann Dunham, the alleged mother of Obama. And I saw that these people were not born in Kansas. They didn't grow up in Kansas. And in fact, the claims about the whole family being from there were refuted by the Social Security number issued to the alleged grandfather or of Obama's mother, Rolla Payne. Rolla Payne. He worked for Standard Oil. He worked for the Rockefellers in Oklahoma. And they claimed that they owned a farm and they leased the farm to the Rockefellers, to Standard Oil. That's how they made their money. There was no substance to it whatsoever. I found the same thing when I researched Eisenhower or McCain. That all these photographs that were put out for public consumption were nothing but CIA compilations. And they weren't even good ones. They were just thrown out there. Maybe an honest agent who was working on those was hoping that someone would catch the flaws in these photographs, catch their fraudulent nature. Now, when someone brings out a document, a birth document or a school document or some declaration of being a student in a school or of a certain nationality, and you see how ridiculous the representations are, and the documents are unreal, well, you can conclude if the documents are unreal, the pictures, the photographs that represent those documents have to be fictitious. And upon close examination, I discovered exactly that there were compilations, many times 20, 30, 40 people added to the photograph piece by piece. And I was able to prove that Barack Hussein Obama Sr., who was given this big send-off from the Honolulu airport, was a total composite. That when I drove the contrast higher, which should darken all the subjects in the picture, the whole photo should become completely black, or as close to black as you can make it. When Obama himself, or the person that they called Obama, turned into a white man, it was quite obvious that it was a compilation, that it had been layered, it had been toyed with, and it was quite ridiculous looking at body parts of these people. Now, this is 3 years ago, Ken, that I published this, and it was 4 years ago when I began the research. And there are people coming out, so-and-so, Wayne Mattson came out with an article, 30-page article, and he revealed all the CIA background. Excuse me. I published it in the Idaho Observer. I published it on the Idaho Observer website and on my own website. Long before any of these clowns came out of the woodwork. But they're getting all the attention. Who puts the money into their pockets to do this? Who funds these things to get the kind of media exposure they get? You've got Jerome Corsi, who I don't have anything against, other than he's pushing the opposite side of what I determined 3 years ago was nothing more than a Hegelian dialectical argument. You've got a guy sitting in the White House claiming he was born in Hawaii. The whole of Congress has aided and abetted in that fraud. And you've got the guy himself and his wife saying he was born in Kenya. Now, it can't be one or the other. They're lying about both because he can't produce a genuine Hawaii document. And he can't produce a genuine Kenya document. End of story. So, the Congress, the Justice Department, the Federal Elections Commission, the FBI, and any other agency that even the military should be on top of this, putting a stop to it because it's nothing but a communist coup to take over this country. They're aiding and abetting in a communist coup. Why? So they can collect their pensions in a couple of years? Or because they're afraid somebody's going to walk into their office in the Pentagon one day and put a bullet in the back of their head, which has happened to many people. It happened in the days following 9/11. So they know the game is going on. But these are the people claiming to protect their country, giving their lives for their country. Now, it's a crapshoot for them. They hope they can survive long enough to spend all the bribery money they've accepted into offshore bank accounts and into the names of their wives and their children. And you can find this on the internet when you start doing the genealogy on these people. So those that are coming out now claiming, oh, yeah, they did this CIA investigation. Since when does a CIA open up their books to anybody? Since when? And are they going to open their books to a guy that's admitted to have worked for the NSA and Naval Intelligence? Are they going to do that? See, this is about finding the truth, not taking credit for other people's work and lying your way through it so that you can put the proper spin on it so that when the mainstream media picks it up, that they can continue to spin it like they've been spinning it. The mainstream media is just as guilty of neuro-linguistic programming as the usurper in the Oval Office and his handlers. It's quite obvious. Many, many people have connected the dots of the financial corruption that's going on. So, in the nutshell, it's a fictitious family that did nothing but work for international intelligence agencies, banks, busy buying up land with taxpayer money and basically giving it to their organized crime partners. These things about this recent story about some guy who was checking the credit of an individual and he discovered Obama's address through some connection that Michelle Obama had. That's a bunch of bunk. It's horse pucky. It's designed to reignite the Hegelian dialectical argument again. Of course, he has this story that he was arrested and detained in Kenya when he was there to look for the birth certificate. Well, you know, maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe that really happened. Or maybe they just did that to make it look like something was being hidden. All I need to do, Ken and ZS, is look at the phony photographs of his family. I mean, there's a guy wearing a pair of powder blue pants that match the walls behind him, and his right leg is purple. Tell me there's not something wrong with that photograph. Or Obama's hand looks like a paw. Maybe he was shape-shifting when they took that picture. You've certainly identified a bunch of demons hitching a ride on him at the London airport.
Yes.
So, what else do you want me to say? The guy's a total fraud. And you got people worshiping this guy? This is insanity, what's going on in this country. And yeah. To them, it's a game. This is not a game.
Well, I'm glad you reviewed that, Don, because you broke a lot of new ground when it comes to uncovering Obama's true past. And you were the first in a number of areas, and you deserve credit for that. And it does annoy me that others do not give you credit when they write about this and simply state the story without mentioning where they got it from. They're implying that they dug up the story, as Wayne Mattson does. Now, I have nothing against Wayne Mattson either, but there's something very shoddy about taking other people's discoveries and running with them as if they're your own. And too many people do that on the internet, and it's high time that people give credit where credit is due, and then you can add to the body of work, but it's simply not fair to the original discoverer to cut him out.
Mm-hmm.
Cut him out of the story and cut him out of the credit. And that certainly has happened in your case.
Now, there is the issue of the Planet Balqui photos. And the fact that, see, if they can discredit me somehow by saying that I stole these photos, we've already covered this story. But the interesting thing is the people that bring this up can be traced to be Obama supporters or Obama minions. Okay, they're working for this counterintelligence apparatus that they've constructed on the internet, posting letters, sending you email or sending me email, questioning my sanity as or my integrity, as somehow I would have stolen this picture just for what purpose? To do what Obama did? To do what I discovered he did? It's quite obvious who's behind that, okay? And the Bushes have the same reasons for doing that. Only they prefer murdering people, if at all possible, before addressing the issues, before trying to defame the individual that makes the discoveries. See, they can't handle the truth. They don't speak it. They don't write it. All they do is lie and connive and steal and murder and plunder. That's all they do. And these are all the same people involved in the mind control. Isn't that interesting? They're involved in financial corruption. They're involved in the abduction of women and children. They're stealing identities. They're stealing properties. They're raiding banks, not just in this country, but all around the world. And they have no accountability for this. I'm not alone in saying that either. You know that.
Yeah, I'd like to though mention that ZS has some insights as to the, let's say, the coming events that will unfold and surround these criminal individuals that you're alluding to. He's broached this subject somewhat in his previous talks, but frankly, those guys are on a merry-go-round that's losing power fast. And ZS, if you can just expand a little bit on that thought.
The balloon is being popped in the lower astral. There's a very gifted soul who is able to dispatch demons, and he's been doing it for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And he's actually probably got most of the black magicians on the planet in one way or another. Either dispatched or unable to do their work. Yep. And so that threat against people is fading off into the distance. And so you're left with the politicians who knew about that type of control running in panic, and also the people who have their hands on the scalar equipment, cranking it up, trying to create chaos in order to reassert their control on the planet. They're losing it. The whole lower astral, from the ground up through to the Van Allen belts, is having a huge makeover right now. People are feeling it. People are... I can feel the change. It's a change for the better. It's actually a higher frequency. Some people who are caught up in chasing or the rat race and chasing after the dollar bill,
mm-hmm.
won't realize it. But most women and children, most spiritually aware people are feeling the difference. Those who are aligning themselves to the negative are in dread. You're getting rumors of people getting their tickets to go to the deep underground military bases because there's going to be problems like Elenin or other weather-related problems or climate change. Of course, they're using climate change instead of global warming now because they can't find global warming.
Well, we described that as much a hoax as we did the swine flu.
Yeah, it's all Scalar messing around with the existing weather patterns and scrambling them in a different way. And so the balloon has popped, and it's deflating, and the power is going out of the illusionary structures at the top. The looting of banks, as you just mentioned, is just a symptom of that fear, where the money people do not know where their next big paycheck's coming from. For millennia, they've been tuned into certain demonic entities in the lower astral who are feeding them the plans for world subjugation according to a communistic or a fascist or
Zionist or whatever.
A plan or the Hegelian arguments are coming from the demonic realms. But that information from those souls are not there anymore. They're gone. So
now
they don't know.
Yeah, if I can ask a question, let's say that everything you just said is true, and I happen to agree with you in that regard. But for those doubting Thomases out there, or those Tomasitas, the fact that a demon or a group of demons, a legion, as they like to call themselves, of demons, is interested in speeding all of this up, then they must be aware of something on the astral plane that's coming up against them, that they would become so desperate so quickly.
Yes. An avatar soul is working to clear up the lower astral. And the handwriting's on the wall. They've tried everything against that soul, and they have lost every single time. In biblical terms, it is mentioned in Revelations, but in a different way from what you would get in church.
Now, this would provide some measure of, I don't like the word hope, but for sake of using a word, or confidence, it would provide some measure of confidence in the minds of those that are fearful, too fearful to do anything themselves, but are waiting patiently for someone else to make the first move. That's the stagnant nature of the average person's consciousness on this planet. Let somebody else do it. There's always somebody else that does this first. And when I see that there's, in my own estimation, comfortably enough people involved to where I don't become noticed, then I'll jump on the bandwagon. Most people have that approach to solving problems. Do you agree that maybe a multidimensional level, that these entities, these dark negative entities that are causing all of this chaos, themselves see the handwriting on the wall?
Yes, and they're pushing their agenda. Those that remain are pushing the agenda in pandemonium, and there's demon in the middle of that word, too.
Yes.
And they are running around like chickens with their heads cut off because the most intelligence of their type are gone. They've been dispatched. And this is part of the whole cleanup of the planet, that also the space fleets are helping from their dimensional action, mm-hmm. from the physical and the higher. So they get, from the astral realms and from the moon, they can see spaceships in all directions.
Mm-hmm.
They have the equipment to probably span the sky for light years out, and there's bigger spacecraft even 4 and 5 light years out, all arrayed around the planet, all setting up protection, keeping the scalar weapons from doing their worst,
mm-hmm.
and whatever names you want to put to them, there's a whole bunch of good guys up there.
Okay. Now, this was unplanned. Neither one of you knew I was going to do this, but I want to play a clip. And ZS, I'm interested in your perceptions on what has been described as a meltdown of 3 field reporters in different areas of the planet. First one is a female reporter from CBS Los Angeles. And she goes into a total mental or brain meltdown and begins speaking reptilian at the 53rd Grammy Awards. Then there's a Wisconsin female reporter that has a similar problem. And then a third who is on location in Japan reporting for his home station in Toronto, Canada. And they all go through mental gymnastics while reading off of their cue cards on camera, live TV. I'd like to play this. It's only a minute and a half long.
This is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Saree.
Well, a very, very heavy debatation tonight. We had a very Darrison fight. Let's go to Terrison for the bit, the head of the pit.
Gazette. Thanks, Margo. Well, Wisconsin has officially joined 25 other states in a lawsuit against President Obama's health care reform law. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says Wisconsin is the latest state, including Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Ohio, and Wyoming, to join Florida's suit. The states claiming the exorcist saw Unchisracho and Palais Brinritz by health urgent. President Obama will head to the...
So if it takes ground forces, it's going to be at ground forces.
Meaning it may have only just begun. Mark McAllister, Global News.
Now, Defense Minister McCain McLeod did confirm today that more than 18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 600 100 deployed over the amount needed. Now, it did depend that how the NOLAN remerges RN, while the university or the UN mission as whole received support from all batteries in the hues of the gardens of today. Excuse me. I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Mark McAllister from Japan tonight.
That sounds like reptilian censorship to me, but...
Well, it's the Wisconsin woman, she said the word exorcist, and then she went into reptilian.
Mm-hmm. Actually, she used the reptilian word, which I don't have that list in front of me, but I'm going to get it. I did this on another show, and I had these words translated, and they were reptilian. When I heard them, I just knew they were reptilian. The exorcist is the word. It means a crazy person.
Okay.
But There's a whole list of words that I have here, and some of them have nothing to do with what was talked about.
Yeah,
totally off topic, but in reptilian. What do you think is going on there, ZS? Just from a discernment point of view.
Well, their brains are fried. they got hit with something. Might have been from their own soul pattern, or from somebody upstairs who just put shone a light on them, and they just melted down.
Yeah, I get that impression. Ken, are you still with us? Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm here. I did hear the show you're talking about, and I, of course, was surprised to hear, as you say, they're experiencing what seems like crossed neural wires.
Mm-hmm.
And the signal is getting rapidly mixed. If, as you say, they use genuine reptilian words, it's a further demonstration that there are a lot of people we see on TV, especially Fox News reporters. They are not human beings. They are human reptilian hybrids. And they do occasionally reveal themselves. Sometime in visually, there's plenty of YouTube examples of that in which they're shape-shifting on camera right in front of your eyes. And some of the most bizarre ones that I saw in Good Morning LA, on the YouTube a few years ago, are no longer there, but they were just incredibly dramatic and bizarre morphing of the face. Entire face, while all the surrounding area, everything else is in perfect focus. Just the face is literally morphing into another form.
Mm-hmm.
That's shape-shifting, and it's surprising how few people understand that's what they're seeing. There's a lot of people are going to be shocked in some year to come from now, in which they're going to recognize what people such as myself or David Icke or anybody, there is a large number of these individuals who are not human beings who pretend to look like human beings because they have the ability to hold the human form, but they are more frequently now and in more embarrassing circumstances shape-shifting in public. I mean, I've never seen it live. I've only seen it on recordings, but it's pretty clear what's happening. It's amazing how people just will doubt their eyes because somehow they're conditioned and not to accept this notion. But it's not science fiction. It's real. There has been a large growth, if you will, in the human population of these hybrids. It's not a few of them. There's large numbers of them now. And I think they will reveal themselves more with each passing year. I think maybe it's the energy shift of the planet prevents them from holding the form. Maybe they don't drink blood often enough, which helps them to hold the human form. I don't know what the reason is, but we're seeing it more and more.
Yes, and it was some years ago that I myself noticed this, and sometimes this revelation would just surface during an interview on someone else's radio show. This reality that everything that I would research regarding genealogy eventually led me to the same place. And we're talking about an extraterrestrial influence or the fact that these people were really extraterrestrials. Why would anyone have to make up a story about who they were or where they were born or who their parents were unless they weren't telling you the truth from the beginning? So there's an agenda that's being hidden behind all of this, you see, and it keeps coming to the same thing. Did it surprise you when you saw the videos of George H.W. Bush sitting in front of a fireplace with Bill Clinton at his side and the close-ups of his eyes shape-shifting into reptilian form? Did that really surprise you? Because a human being couldn't do the things that these people do to human beings. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly some truth coming out, and we're able to identify the reality the way it is, not the way we've been spoon-fed throughout our lives. Either one of you want to comment on that before we say goodnight, actually?
Well, let ZS take this one.
Okay. You know, there will be an exposure. The whole thing will break down, as you're pointing to. As the frequency does rise as more of the energies, the frequency will cause them to lose their ability to hold in the human form in this density.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a matter of weeks. The way things are panning out right now, it might be 4 months. But it's going to be pretty soon. It's one of those predictions that it's really difficult to make because the events which are leading up to it are all coming in from off planet, but it's people on the planet who are anchoring it. Mm-hmm. And as people can anchor the new energies and hold that frequency for the Earth, then the lies will be revealed.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm reminded by what you just said of what's going on in space. And I mean, it's like being in a traffic jam at Disneyland on a Sunday afternoon with spaceships and all kinds of battles going on. Now, why would that be occurring if there wasn't an attempt to take over this planet? And I'm not saying this is necessarily good against evil going on. Certainly, I've described and alluded to the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon numerous times, but they are witnessing these battles going on with other species from other parts of the galaxy.
Right.
So there is some alarm has gone off, some galactic alarm, if you want to call it that, that this is the place to be at right now, that it's ripe for the pickings. And these demonic entities or these negative extraterrestrials that are also Satanists and in league with demons are involved, that they're making a move. That's the only explanation that makes any sense. Yet so many people are afraid to talk about it because they might think that someone is going to call them names or say they're crazy. So I've been called worse things. I'm not.
I've been called everything over 40 years. But if the plan for the raising the frequency of the Earth does happen and the demonic hold upon the planet, whatever race is claiming the Earth at this time and others would wish to claim it,
mm-hmm.
if that breaks, then the conditions, the situation will change throughout space, and other planets which are now claimed will lose they will lose their claim on those planets as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, I see this happening, actually.
And so that the whole demon-filled space with the high intelligence, no soul aspect is going to be wiped out. So they see that their life expectancy is short.
Mm-hmm.
And since they do not see an afterlife, they're fighting for what life they do have.
Yeah, they just picked the wrong place to do it, I think.
Yeah, and some of them are probably hiding deep in looking for their deep underground military bunkers on distant planets to survive the situation, and they're just going to be mausoleums for a very expensive mausoleums.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, GS, do you want to make a closing statement here before we say goodnight?
Well, thank you for all your research. You're divinely guided to see through the lies. I can see time after time after time that when you're doing your photo interpretations, that you would see one thing and spirit would guide you to another point, and it's just amazing to watch how your thought pattern progressed through the discoveries that you made regarding the presidents and all the lies which the media have brought to the public. And thank you for your work.
Well, I appreciate your gratitude. It's my intention to have more people read it and wake up. And, they don't have to believe it. They can do the research I did. I lay it all out there. I tell you where to look and what to look at. I didn't create those pictures of someone that on all accounts isn't even human, who's sitting in the Oval Office right now playing God. there's a certain amount of spiritual outrage that fuels that work, you know?
Right.
And I give the credit to God, you know, but the gifts I have are from God, from the real God. Okay. So thank you for that. Ken, any closing?
Yeah, I sort of like to just echo that too. I've your writing is very good, and you've accomplished much. Your role as a talk show host is even more valuable, I think, because when you've recorded a lot of shows, you do this 5 days a week, and I think you're in your fourth year now. Many of those shows have been monologues. You really are a cut above the rest when it comes to your ability to express yourself in sort of stream of consciousness type of exposition, and your monologues are just superb beyond words. And I just wanted to mention, since you told me that you've recently been uploading. You've been cleaning up the audio to maximize the fidelity of the audio and make it as clean as possible. You've been uploading your radio shows to your archives page of your website. And I'm going to be putting a link on my site that anyone can find easily so that people can go to your website and click on the shows that you've uploaded. There's no charge. They can listen to the show for free. And I think the more people who hear these fabulous shows you've done, sure, many guests, wonderful shows, really good stuff. But a lot of your shows were monologues, and you just do a wonderful job on very inspiring work. And I think when people know where to find your audio files and start listening to you, I think your fans, your supporters, the people interested in your work are going to grow by leaps and bounds, Don. I think you're a individual whose time has arrived, and the more people discover that, I think the greater your work will be known to a much wider audience.
Well, my show couldn't be, I'm speaking about the radio show, of course, and you notice I refrain from calling it a program, okay? I'm deprogramming, okay? So if anything, if I'm going to use that word, I'll call it my radio deprogram. But I call it a show, not to entertain, It's a show. It's a showing of the truth. It's a revealing of the truth, and the exposure of the lies that mankind has been spoon-fed for at least the past 13,000 years on this planet. You have the same bloodlines operating, always in secret, always with the necessity to hide behind a veil or behind a curtain, so that their deeds cannot be found out. Why is that? Why, if they're so righteous, why do they have to hide, you see? That when you ask yourself that question, it really, if you're searching for the answers yourself, you're not going to get them from those that have misled you and all of us throughout our whole lives and throughout the course of the past 13,000 years of history. They hide the fact that other civilizations existed on this planet many tens of thousands of years ago, or even hundreds of thousands of years ago. And they've gathered up all the archaeological evidence to support what I just said, and they've hidden it in places, probably taken much of it to other planets, planets they deny they've ever been to, but that we have photographs of. And when someone comes out with the truth, they have to attack that person. Somehow attacking is going to justify all of their corrupt activity. It's going to protect their corrupt activity. Those are beings operating out of fear. They have all the money in the world, literally, and they still are fearful. Oh, they can pay someone to do their dirty deeds. They can pay someone to have a journalist or a talk show host murdered, or a healer, or just some benevolent person that wants to help humanity and is living that sort of life. So none of it makes any sense when you ask those questions, except that they're the epitome of evil and the epitome of fear and the epitome of illusion. It's all nothing but a bunch of illusion when you get down to it. So, you know, I appreciate the comments from both of you. You guys and the other guests I have on my show make my show what it is. What you bring to the table and the work that you are doing yourselves, you're both to be commended for it. So I extend my compliments and my congratulations to both of you.
Oh, thanks.
And if you're listening in, you should do yourself a favor and go to educate-yourself.org, Ken Adachi's website, and read his work as well as Z.S. Livingstone's work. Gentlemen, we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming on the show on such short notice and for your contributions to the truth and the awakening of mankind on this planet.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Don.
Okay. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and my two guests tonight, Ken Adachi and Zora Nova Star Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. They've already been made, so I can't make them. And a quick reminder, I want to let the listening audience know that Christopher Holmes, PhD, who hosts his own show on BBS Radio, Zero Point, will be my guest three times during the month of June, June 2nd, 16th, and the 30th. Christopher will be paying a special tribute to his significant other, Karen T. Hale, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, and he's been writing a tribute to her, and we're going to be talking about the work that she did and the influence, positive influence, that she had on another truth searcher's work, and that being Christopher. So be sure to tune in for those shows. They're going to be very rewarding and very meaningful to a lot of people I know. So that wraps it up. I want to thank everyone who tuned in out there in the listening audience. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray, who is our resident science advisor and my Friday night co-host. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.